Hi, and welcome to Artists Alive. It's Gustav Zentin Elström, and this is a podcast where I interview notable people in the entertainment industry. And with me, I have 7,000 Apart.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Of course, thank you for being here. I should put these things down, like bags and stuff, so that they don't make any sounds during this interview. So there will be a few people coming from your audience listening to this who may be familiar with you already, but for the people who aren't too familiar with you, can't you tell them a little bit about yourselves and what it is that you do?
Yeah, of course. So we're a band. We make music. And I'm originally from Stockholm, Sweden. But when I was 17, I went as an exchange student to the US. And that's how I met John.
Yeah. So we met in music theory class and we became really good friends over music initially. And then we ended up becoming more than friends and dated for the rest of my senior year of high school. And as the school year kind of ended, we were like, okay, should we break up or should we try long distance? And we decided to try long distance. And so we were in a long distance relationship for 3 years where we were 7,000 kilometers apart from each other.
Yeah, so that's where the name comes from. And it was during that time that we started the band 7,000 Apart as a way of just kind of have something in common and work towards something together and still make music even though we were so far away from each other. But then in 2016, we got married and I moved to the US to be with John. And we lived there for a really long time making music, and eventually we could call it our full-time job. And now we actually live in Sweden. So we just moved here like a year and a half ago now. And we're loving it. But we still travel back to the US to tour a lot and stuff. So yeah, that's us pretty much.
We're going to get into more about your career in a little bit. But first, I just wanted to rant about my day. No, I'm kidding. I already told you guys. But for my listeners, so this morning around 9 a.m., a casting agent emailed me and she was like, hey, I'm working on this commercial and I think you'd be a great fit for this role. Would you like to do an audition for it and send me some self-tapes? And also, can you do it today? Because we're shooting on Monday. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll do it. I'll try to get to it today. And she says, great. So I go to community college, or folkhögskola, as it's called in Swedish. And I was in class when I got this email. Wow. And I was like, okay, how am I going to put this together? I finished 11:45 at school today, on Fridays, which is great.
That's so,
so then
nice.
I had more time to do this. And I was freaking out a little bit because I was like, okay, where am I going to film this? Because it's way too cramped where I live, like in my home, and also too dark. So I couldn't really shoot there. So I called my mom, who's a bit of a momager.
I
was like five. So I was like, can you direct me and film me today, please? She was working from home today, so.
Yeah,
that's so good.
We live together. So she was like, okay, cool, where? And I was like, my studio, the photo studio. But they're renovating it. So that was also an issue. So I had to call my team here and be like, hey, I know you guys told me the photo studio is off limits for now. But could I please have it for just an hour, please? And they were like, sure.
Oh, that's
gonna
so
be
sweet.
Here? Yeah. And they were like, when are you going to be here? And I'm like, I don't know, during the afternoon? And they were like, be more specific. And I was like, okay, fine, 3. And then I was here 3. And they were here 3.
Yay!
So that's great. And it worked out.
That's how those things work sometimes, though. It's like you get a last-minute opportunity and mm-hmm. you're just like, you got to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens to me all the time, and I'm really happy about it.
That's okay.
And since they're shooting on Monday, I'm going to hear back from them very soon. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. We wish you all the luck.
Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate it. But back to you guys. What was your first single?
Our first, like, proper single was a song called Blank Check, and it was from an album called We Are More, which was our debut album. And we actually recorded it in Dalarna here in Sweden. Mm. And that was like the song and it did really, really well. And then we tried to like make a song that does as well as that one, I guess. I guess we started out on top, you know?
Yeah.
For now.
It was a song about we almost broke up the first year we were together, long distance, just because it was really hard.
Yeah.
And so we wrote this, like, that song, we wrote it like 3 years after we had been in long distance, basically.
Mm.
And just kind of looking back on it, because at the time it was just too many emotions, I think, to like actually put it together in some cohesive like body of work, I guess, or piece of music. So.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to go through those like emotions, even though like they're in the past, sometimes you have to rework them, you know, in order to get past something.
Like,
yeah.
Processing them and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I realized something 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks ago your last gig at the Moon?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, about 2 weeks.
About 2 weeks ago, I realized something.
Yeah.
And that was that I'd heard your music before we even met.
Really?
Without me knowing it.
That's so crazy.
For the people who don't know, but wasn't Blank Check featured on The Hills?
Yeah, The Hills New
MTV.
Beginnings. Yeah.
For the people who don't know, MTV in Sweden is a supporter of this podcast.
Oh, that's awesome.
And has been since 2021 or something. And they sent me a lot of screeners for movies and shows and stuff for me to review on the show at times.
That's so cool.
And The Hills, New Beginnings, was one of them. And
yay!
I got to watch it before anyone else.
No, that's so cool. Probably before we even saw it.
Yes, yes. Definitely. So I must have heard it then.
Yeah.
So I watched every episode. Now I had to see a lot of things. Like, I had a lot of screeners for a bunch of different shows, and even a few friends of mine are voice actors and stuff. So they did a few things for Nickelodeon. I had to watch that as well.
Yes.
So I barely remember that show. I'm stuck.
No, oh my gosh. We didn't have MTV at the time. So we only saw it because a fan of ours recorded it on her TV. Like when it was airing, and then she sent it to us. So that was, we haven't seen the whole episode. We've only literally seen like that little part where a song is in.
Yeah. But how did that come about, it being featured?
So we've been like very DIY ever since the beginning, I guess. And so there's just a friend of ours was working with this company in LA for sync licensing for getting music into TV shows and movies and stuff. And so we just kind of applied to work with this company.
Yeah, we submitted our music to be in their library.
Yeah.
Nothing fancier than that. And then we got just like an email like, hey, this song is going to be in this. This is how much we're going to pay you. Okay. And we're like, okay.
It was super low key. Like literally just, it was in a database and they selected it out of like other people, I guess.
Yeah.
It was completely random, which is kind of weird, I guess, but
that's,
it's cool.
Great. Yeah. It is really cool.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you guys.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Do you sing to yourself?
Sometimes, yeah.
Like out of stress.
Like yeah.
Stress.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm a stress singer.
He's definitely especially in the car. Like if we're like in a big city.
Yeah.
And like it's a lot of traffic, he starts singing right away, and he'll and it's like over and over and over again, like just some little like, yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's a lot of random melodies and just
yeah
it's, I definitely stress sing in the car.
Yeah
Your music deals a lot with mental health, mental health struggles and mental health awareness. How does mental health awareness exactly play a part as a theme in your music?
So for us, it's been mostly the second album called Feel Your Feelings. And it came about from COVID. A lot of the songs were written during that time period. We wrote the first song in the beginning of 2020 when we were already feeling that 2020 was going to be like a weird year.
2019 was a rough year for us.
It was 2019 was rough for us. And then we went into 2020 and, you know, there were wildfires and there were like things that were happening. We had no idea, obviously, like how bad it was going to get, but there were already like some tensions in the air. So we wrote Hope. And then COVID happened. Everything got shut down. Our tour got canceled. Everything was just like, we didn't know what to do. Because in the US we were like, we had like proper lockdown as well. Mm-hmm. So we didn't go out of our apartment besides for on walks for like months. It was really crazy. And so that really didn't help my mental health. I have always been struggling with anxiety, but it got super, super bad during that time, as well as, like, I fell into a depression. And so we both actually went to therapy during that time, and John's therapist...
My therapist was like, you need to feel your feelings more, because you're an artist, and you're just bottling everything up inside, and, like, as an artist especially, like, you need to actually express yourself, and, like, if you don't express yourself, it's going to come out in negative ways. So my therapist was like, you need to just actually write a lot more music. And so, yeah, the songs were really just from, like, us dealing with a lot of stuff that we had been struggling with personally. And, like, they were really songs that we needed to hear because of our struggles, I guess.
And also, like... we wanted also the album to be not just, like, the really sad feelings, you know, because those are important to feel, but it's also really important to feel those positive feelings as well, the happiness and the joy and the empowerment and all of that. So we really wanted to make a body of work that encapsulated not just, like, the sad emotions, but also, like, the power and everything that we have inside of us.
Has anybody, like, a fan, like, reached out about that album, maybe about, like, what it made them feel?
Absolutely.
And how did you guys feel about that?
I remember this one time. This was right before the COVID lockdown. We were on tour. We were in Ohio, I think. And we played this random bar. And we played Hope, which normally we don't play the slow songs when we're at bars because it can be hard to get people's attention and stuff. But we played Hope. And this... extremely drunk woman like extremely drunk woman she came up to us and she was crying, and she's like, I really needed to hear that today, and I love that song so much, can you write it on my hand so that I will remember to listen to it tomorrow, because I'm worried that I won't remember the song name. So, like, I had to write with a pen on her hand like the name of the song and, like, the name of us and stuff, so she would remember to listen to it.
That's sweet.
That's, like, properly, like, you, when you like a song enough that you're like, if you're that wasted, you still want to remember it. That's pretty impressive.
And then another time we...
but there's been lots.
We're partnered with Suicide Awareness Walk in Green Bay called Be the Light Walk. And they, on the stage, they had the big letters, H-O-P-E, like Hope. And we got to sing our song Hope for like 2,000 people that were all there because they had... some kind of relationship with suicide, you know? And so that was a really, really cool thing that we were able to do as well. And just the way that these songs both have helped us, but have helped people in, like, really, really, on really, really hard days too. It means the world to us.
Or we have a group of fans that some of them are on the autism spectrum. And we have a song that's just coming out soon called Started a Fire. And the first line is called, is like, I'm tired of being second best. And, like, we played this for, like, a couple of them in even a stream.
Yeah.
It was, like, in a stream.
Because since we couldn't play live anymore, we decided to stream during 2020 and 2021 a lot. And so we got, like, a really awesome community online as well. Yeah. And, yeah, we played that song.
Yeah, and it's just interesting because, like, so I think so many people... feel like they come in second best, or like they're not chosen first, or you know, and yeah, this girl just, like, completely broke down in this like
video chat
streaming thing, and just, like, turned off her camera, and then we were like, I hope she's okay, and then she, like, told us she came back a little bit later and was like, that just hit me really hard because I've never felt like I've been put first in my life, like, either for myself or from myself or from other people too. And so, I mean, it's been a lot of things like that over the years, and it's it's really cool to see that. Or yeah, like our song No is a Nice Word is about boundaries and consent and, like, stuff like that, and that's, I think, hit a decent amount of people too.
It's a good reminder for people, you know, and it's a good reminder for us too.
Definitely. We'll get back to this in just a little bit, but I got some feedback for another podcast that I did with my friend Nick Albee, and it was, like, the darkest episode I've ever made of this podcast. So, like, I've actually had people just the past few weeks, whenever I usually don't get recognized, but I got recognized like a week ago, and it was this teenage girl on the train, and she was like, "I'm listening to your podcast with Nick Albee right now," and I was like, "This is, I discovered your podcast a little while ago through TikTok," and I was like, "Why did you pick that one?" Yeah. It's so dark. Aww. I'm not like that all the time. But it's a very important episode. Yeah. And I'm really happy for people, you know, reaching out, because people have been reaching out on social media and said, like, I felt like this too.
Yeah.
And it's going to get better. And I know that. And
yeah.
And you've confirmed it. That's like, so cool. And you've confirmed it for yourself now.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. But so the feedback that I received was that I needed to balance it out a bit more because it got a little heavy.
Yeah, for sure.
So I was thinking, before we can talk a bit about mental health a little bit later in the show, but I need to talk about the craziest thing that happened to me like 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I got an email from one of in my team, and we got a request from this guy in Birmingham. His partner is listening to the podcast, the English speaking episodes, and they had a baby in May of last year. Aww. And he was like, can you surprise her by making her a personal video where you say hello to her and saying congrats to her baby?
Aww.
Which was like the craziest request ever. And I was like, yeah, of course. And they named her after their favorite band. And after I sent the video, like 3 hours later, I received an email where they were thanking me, and also they sent me a video of them going to the concert of their favorite band on Facebook.
Aww.
To my Facebook page. It was like the sweetest thing ever.
That's so cool.
And it's just crazy when you get to do those kinds of things, and people, you know, reaching out from all over the world.
Yeah.
It's just so strange, but also it's just so nice, you know, be able to maybe make someone stay or say hello to somebody else, because I used to be that kind of person, you know, in my teens when I reached out to my favorite celebrity or whatever, and them like reaching out back to me, like, it made my day. And just,
oh my goodness, yes.
Not that I see myself as a celebrity, guys. I don't. I'm not. But
that's still really cool.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why we're in the entertainment business, right? Yeah. To make people stay a little bit brighter, and so no matter like in what way you're in entertainment, like whether it's music or podcasting or TV, film, whatever, I mean, it all comes down to making someone stay. So that's really, really cool.
I had an idea, a little challenge for you guys.
Ooh.
Later on in this episode, I was wondering if you guys could make a playlist, take over my Spotify temporarily, momentarily, and make a playlist with music you're into right now, some of your favorite songs from your discography.
For sure, absolutely.
I think that'd be fun. Yeah, now we balance it out a little bit. I think it's very much important that that we as a society can, you know, destigmatize mental health, because it's very misunderstood.
Yeah.
And it's great to be able to do it through art, you know, because
100%.
That's something people understand, and they can connect it to something that they enjoy consuming.
Exactly.
For the people who don't know, but I started community college in August of last year, and half an hour before my first day, my psychologist called me and diagnosed me with borderline personality disorder.
Oh, wow.
Which is not really what you want to hear on your first day.
No.
Like, before your first day of community college.
That's a lot to take in, yeah.
Yeah. But it felt really nice to, you know why I have such intense mood swings.
Yeah.
Because I was, falsely diagnosed with bipolar disorder last year.
Yeah.
And then we were like, well, it's not that. It must be something else, because the mood swings are much shorter.
Yeah.
So my mom had Googled about borderline personality disorder, because one in our family had it. And she was like, this maybe could be it. So I contacted my psychiatrist to refer me to a psychologist at the psychiatry. And we had like 4 sessions over like a month and a half.
Nice.
And it's kind of weird being like interviewed about like everything about yourself, because I'm the kind of person who forgets everything about myself. Like I always forget everything.
You're the about interviewer, myself. Not the interviewee, right?
Right. So they were so my psychologist, it was like, well, when did this begin for you? Like, how was your teenage years? And I was like, yeah, how was my teenage years? Like, how were they? I don't know. But then I had to like, okay, let me think. But yeah, so it's great that, you know, a lot of people see diagnosis as kind of like a label or something, and they kind of identify themselves by that label. But I see it as, you know, a way to get help, you know, because the thing is, like, I believe that mental health diagnoses are just, they're not made up, but we've given them names and we've given them criteria in order to best help another person.
Exactly.
So although they are genetic, a lot of them, by nature, we gave them names and made the criteria to be able to help people. And it feels nice, you know, being able to get that help when needed. And at times, you know, you have to wait a long time in order to get therapy, at least here in Sweden.
Yeah, I mean, it's even more stigmatized in the U.S. So that's, like, something that we try to talk about when we're in the U.S.
And
as well, and
talk
about... Yeah, it's also extremely expensive to get the help you need.
So there is a specific therapy method, or, well, a specific therapy form that's called DBT, Dialectical Behavior Therapy, which is designed for borderline. And they took it out of the general psychiatry where I live right now.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
It's okay. They currently don't have enough psychologists.
Yeah.
But that could change in the future. Who knows? But they put me on lithium for a year. Which isn't really, like, it works great for people with, like, bipolar disorder. But for me, I don't know, I became kind of like a zombie. It wasn't real for me. But I have friends who are on it and really dig it. And it prevents them from, you know, going manic or going and stuff like that. But for me, it's just, I had asked to switch. So I did. And I was really happy about it because I had to fight for it a lot because they were trying to be like, no, we want you to be on this.
Yeah. It's so important when it comes to both both therapy, that you have a therapist that works for you, because you're not going to be friends with everyone. So why would you be like, why would every therapist wouldn't work with you either, you know? So that's so important that you find a therapist that's right for you. And same with medication and daring to try different things, but also letting things like take their course, because sometimes they don't kick in right away. And so I think like, and it's something that we need to talk about, you know, and like we both been to therapy. I'm still on anti-anxiety meds. And it's something that we feel like if we can be open about it, maybe other people will feel like, oh, I'm not alone in this, you know?
Definitely. And it's okay to, you know, give feedback to one's therapist.
Yes.
Or psychiatrist or psychologist, wherever. Whomever it is. Whomever it is you're going to see. And ask, like, if you've been on a certain medication for a while or been in a certain, like, I don't know, group therapy or maybe something like that, and you feel like it isn't really working. And it's really great that, you know, you tell them that you believe that.
And it can be hard sometimes.
It is.
Yeah, but it's important to tell, like, again, to feel your feelings and to express those feelings. Yeah.
Yeah, because it would be horrible to be, like, stuck in a, well, being on medications that you don't feel is working or be in a type of therapy that just you feel it doesn't benefit you.
Yeah.
That would suck.
I remember one of my first therapists that I had, she would just sit there and I would just cry. And I would cry for 40 minutes and she would just let me cry. And I was like, this is not what I need. I need to talk, you know? And she would just like sit there. And so I switched and then I had someone who worked way better for me. And some people need to sit and cry for 40 minutes and that's their therapy, you know? But for me, I needed to like get out of crying all the time.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, everything isn't for everyone.
No, exactly.
And everything doesn't work the same for everyone.
No.
And if you're unsure what kind of help it is that you need, just try different things out.
Exactly.
Maybe you'll find something that works for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But always talk to your doctor.
Yes, absolutely. With them about exactly. Before anything else. So that yes. You don't, like,
no self-medicating.
No. I wasn't talking about that.
No, I know. I was just kidding. I was just making sure.
Oh, yeah. That's something that I talked a lot about in my episode with Nick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't, please. Like, it helps for, like, the time being, but then it makes it all worse.
Yes.
Later on.
Yeah. That's we not, don't want to go not, down that road.
That's not cute. No.
Not cute.
Not cute. It's 10 out of 10, not cute.
Side, yeah. Your latest single.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
was released on my name day on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it was.
It was Valentine's. So
oh, good. Yeah, that's so cute. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, we don't release a lot of love songs, at least like on Feel Your Feelings, because we mostly are focusing on mental health and stuff. There wasn't just like love songs too mm-hmm. much, but Side is very cleanly and truly a pop love song. It's I think the lightest one kind of on the album. It's yeah. just like it's we just wanted to convey the feeling of just like happiness and just mm-hmm. the feeling of having someone on your side and being together with someone and that feeling of being able to rely on others. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important, whether it's your partner or whether it's your mom or or some other family member or friend. Like, it's really cool that we can be there for each other, I think. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we like Side. It's yeah. a cute one.
Wasn't there a music video for it?
Yeah.
Tell we me about that.
Yeah, so we had all kinds of ideas. We always have ideas, but I really got stuck with the idea of taking a lot of old footage because we've been doing this for almost 10 years now. Mm-hmm. And we have so much footage from when we were younger and from when we just started out and then, you know, on tour. And so what I did was I took almost all footage I could find that I liked where it was like both of us in the shot. And then I edited it down so that it was like manageable, and then I sent it to our awesome videographer Jake in the US in Wisconsin and was like, here, can you do something with this? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yes, I love this idea. And so yeah, he edited it together, and I think it just shows like our story a little bit and awesome. What we've gone through and that we've like been there for each other through it all.
Yeah,
that's great. And I'll link it in the description so you guys yeah. can see it, as well as your music and our social media and stuff, so people can stalk us. No,
we're very easy to be stalked, I yeah. would say. Because like, it's really easy to find us because no one else like has a name like us, really. Like a yeah. like 7,000 apart. Like, not a lot of artists have numbers in their name.
No.
Yeah.
I think you made a little joke that your only competitor was like a camera or something.
Yes. Yeah,
it's like Canon or something. But
yeah, if you search 7,000 apart, it's going to be only us and then maybe like...
Or Nikon?
Taking apart a Nikon or Canon like 7,000D or something. Yeah. So
It's actually a really good hack, though. Yeah. If you want to start a band, yes. you should have it with a number mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. any festival we play... We're always the first one on the list.
Yeah.
Yes. So even on t-shirts and stuff, yeah. it's like us and then everyone else.
Yeah.
So like, it's really weird, but like, we've been ahead of headliners and stuff.
Yeah, when they only like sorted in like, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah, just because it's sorted number and then yeah. letters, and which is really yeah. funny. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life hack.
Yes. For sure.
Life hack.
Yes.
If you guys hear something in the background, I'm sharing this stereo complex with Stim. And if you guys don't know what Stim is, it's basically the Swedish equivalent to like BMI.
And NASCAP, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, someone is really thumping that bass in the room next yeah. over.
I was to tell you guys before, but I haven't said this to the listeners, but I was listening to Sexang Show, which is a podcast where Sexang is an American radio personality. If you guys didn't know, he interviewed his friend Ariana Grande because she released a new album, and they were in this I don't know if it was like a garage or whatever in New York, and right outside the building there was a busy street, and all you can hear in that interview from time to time is like cars beeping, taxi. And it's just, craziness.
Yeah, so this is nothing.
The sounds of New York.
Yeah.
and I'll see if I can like edit it out or something.
I don't think it's gonna be too noticeable.
Okay, I hope not. I hope not.
Otherwise, your mom's gonna be like, "What the heck?"
Yeah, or we'll get like a few comments on like TikTok and stuff. And yeah, people are gonna be like, "We hated this."
I mean, whatever makes people comment, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. if people comment, that's a good thing.
It is.
Even if it's like engagement. Negative. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's engagement.
I will say, it was so strange to go viral on TikTok during the pandemic. It was, like, really weird. I think, like, 1/20th of Sweden's population has seen a video where I rant about lollipops and how much I hate them.
Interesting. I haven't, but I wasn't in Sweden during that time. No. I was on, like, because it's very, like, localized TikTok. And
yeah,
so,
it is.
Yeah, so I was in the American side of TikTok at that time. But I will look it up after this.
No.
Yes, I will.
We need to see it for sure.
Yeah. And I had like thousands of comments on that video.
So crazy.
And I was like reading through, and people were like talking, like making rumors about my life. It was like weird, like reading about my life. And people were talking about like what sexuality I have, or like what religion do I have, or like what am I, is my.
From you talking about lollipops.
Yes. Yeah. What is my political ideas and thoughts and things like that? And like, where do I live? And like, has anyone seen me? And somebody was like, I've seen him live. Like, I've seen him in person. He's such a diva. You know, it's just really
oh
weird.
Oh my goodness.
Like, and I'm just reading it through, like skimming through. And I see all of this comment and all of these comments in this comment section. I'm like, what is going on? What is going on? It's sort of like, I was thinking for myself, remember this. Is this what it's like to have like a flashback thread?
Yeah.
If you guys don't know what flashback is, it's basically this Swedish like really hateful site where they
It's like Reddit.
But they're really hateful.
Yeah.
Like, even more hateful than Reddit.
Worse Reddit.
Yeah.
And I was one of my idols, Kiki Palmer, the actress.
Mm-hmm.
We follow each other on Twitter.
Nice.
Anyways, awesome. I saw an interview with her. Because her mom,
mm-hmm.
which also has a mom and Jerry like me,
amazing.
She used to take care of her social media. So, you know, back in like 2010, like her Twitter account or her website. And like one of Kiki's friends, she was like, you have a lot of followers on your professional Twitter account, because she used a different one for her personal friends and stuff. And so she's looking through like the tweets from her verified account.
Yeah.
And her mom has responded in her name whenever there was a comment like, "You're a bitch," and she was like, "No, you're the bitch." And,
no.
And she was like, "I need to change my password." I'm so happy my mom doesn't know about social media. Or, well, she does. She does. Yes. But that she isn't that tech savvy.
Yeah.
Because I know that if she had access to my accounts, like, it would just.
She'd comment on your past. She'd be like.
She'd protect you at all costs.
Yeah.
Yes.
She'd be like, "Screw you, man."
Yeah. And then I wake up like one day and I'm like banned from all the places for bullying. But shit, it's like that all the time. Like, I remember I got a comment. Like, we were walking to the bus and there was this guy who like yelled like homophobic stuff or something like that. And then she goes off on him and like she's running after him and it was just really strange.
Goodness.
And I was like, okay, chill. You need to chill, mom. Like, you need to chill.
Got the mama bear energy.
Yeah.
It's okay. Just chill,
sweet.
Please. No, I love her.
Yeah, my mom would never let me play American football because she's like, I could never see you get tackled. Like, if someone tackled you, I would go tackle them.
Yeah.
Like, thanks, mom.
Yeah.
Sweet. Mom's been live.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything in specific you'd like to tell my listeners?
We're releasing the last single, the last song from Feel Your Feelings on March 29th. And we have a little special, like, collab on it that's secret so far.
Shh.
But we're super duper excited. And that's going to wrap up Feel Your Feelings.
Can just do like an exclusive podcast?
Should we like announce it here? You're saying that we're going to like...
Yeah,
really?
Maybe.
When is this going up? Do we know?
I have no idea. Let me just...
I'm like, because if we're doing like an exclusive and it's like after, then it's not going to be
cool.
What about the 25th?
Perfect.
We can just talk about it.
Yeah, then we can announce it. Then we can talk about it. Because we might have announced it.
We can just talk about it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But we're really excited. So when we were producing this song out this summer, we were just like, maybe we should have some kind of collab in some way, because we haven't had any on this album. We've written a couple songs with people, but we haven't had any other collabs. Mm. And so I joked and I was like, yeah, I mean, maybe we could get Tommy from Sabaton to record a sick like guitar solo or something. Mm. And our producer was like, yes, that sounds awesome. Like, ask him. And I was like, oh, but like, I don't know. I don't know if he wants to. And he's really busy. And I don't know if he would do it. But like, I guess I can ask. And so I asked and he's like, heck yeah, I'll do that. That sounds great. Send me the song and I'll record it. And I couldn't believe it. And it is so sick. It's so cool. And it just like adds that extra little flair on the song. It's a very like empowering song, as we talked about before. But it's like a big arena, like pop rock song, you know? And his like guitar solo at the end just like blows everyone.
Just
out
like
of the
a
water.
Shred,
so cool.
Shred yes. Guitar solo type situation.
Because he's, so for those who don't know, Sabaton is one of the biggest Swedish bands. And they're a huge metal band. And Tommy is one of their lead guitarists. He's actually leaving them to like focus on his own career now.
Really?
Yeah, which I'm so excited for because his band is also like super, super awesome.
He's been blowing up on YouTube as well.
Yeah. He has like a really, really big YouTube channel as well. And so we're so happy for him and we're so happy he could do the solo. And yeah, it's just awesome.
That is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
You see what happens when you reach out to people.
I know. It's okay to ask sometimes. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Reminds me of that time.
That's definitely getting picked up. But otherwise, I think we were okay.
No, but it reminds me of that time when I did my collab with MTV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I reached out in 2019 and they were like, no. we'll don't call us, we'll call you.
Yeah.
Then 2 years later, you know, it was a pandemic. People stopped watching TV.
Mm.
I'm shading them a little bit now. No, I'm kidding. But most people were watching streaming services. And they were launching one and I was like, this is a perfect opportunity to reach out again.
Yeah.
And so I did.
So good.
And they were like, well, we'll keep a few guests then. And then a month later, I'm in a lot of like press junkets.
Cool.
Via Zoom.
Yeah.
With like Viola Davis and Uma Thurm.
So cool.
That's what I asked you for. And it's just like, is this my life?
That's so crazy. Cool.
That is crazy. And that's just because, you know, I reached out.
Yeah.
You just have to ask. Yeah.
You just have to ask.
Yeah. So that's a go because I've been receiving some questions from people in the past who have been like, well, it's scary to reach out. What if you get rejected? I'm like, honey, that's this business.
Yeah.
It's guaranteed.
That's
literally,
showbiz.
Yeah, that's literally what our song "No Is a Nice Word" is about as well. It's about like how in this industry we'd rather get a no than no reply.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Then at least you know they've seen it, they've made a decision, we can move on with our lives.
Mm.
But when people don't reply, you get so frustrated and you're just like, just tell me no, it's fine. Just like, let me move on with my life.
Yes.
Yeah. So no is a nice word.
No is a nice word.
Yeah.
That I received last week at another audition. I'm kidding. But it was great because I've been waiting for a week for a response from the casting agent.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, should I reach out?
Yeah.
Or not, I didn't, because I didn't reach out back and be like, any updates or anything like that, because I didn't want to be perceived as like a diva or like, even though you're not.
No.
Yeah.
But I didn't, and I just, I was like, well, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
Yeah.
It wasn't meant to be.
Not this time. Not this time.
And they were like,
not this time,
but you know, we reach up to you again if something comes up. And I'm
that's
like,
so
that's
good.
Awesome.
Yeah,
it happens all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
I'm actually, there have been times where I've been like doing an audition and afterwards I'm like, I want a no. I want to be rejected because I feel like, because the emotions have been so intense, maybe I didn't really connect with the caster or any of the cast and crew or whatever.
Yeah.
And I felt like, well, if I do get the part for that, maybe it was a TV show for SVT.
Yeah.
That example. If I get the part for that, I'm going to feel that again.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. So at times it's actually been great, you know, to be told no.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because then you can move on to something where you feel better mentally.
Exactly, 100%.
So, and it might not be a good fit too for like for you too. Mm-hmm. Like it, they might be saying no because it's not a good fit.
Yeah.
And it's better to not work with someone that you won't work well together with.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, for whatever reason, you know.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't that we didn't really work out. It was just that we got really awkward.
Yeah.
Like really, really.
Oh, stable. That's hard.
And and it just messed the vibe up. It was partially my fault and partially our fault. It was both of our fault, but also neither of us fault. So it's okay. It's cool.
For sure.
Definitely.
That's how it goes at times. Yeah. So, new single on Friday.
Yes.
And I'm going to add it to the playlist you'll
Thank
be making.
You. Yeah.
That I'll also add into the description of this episode. And people can find you at 7,000 Apart.
Yes.
On what platforms?
Which platforms? Pretty much all of them, but I would say like Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook, I think, are our main ones right now.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have a website if in case you're like, I want to find everything in one place, just 7000apart.com. Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm called Zementin everywhere, like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. What else is there? Spotify.
Yeah.
I think those are the main ones, like YouTube as well. And I also have a website, which would have been a really cool sentence to have said in the 90s. Now it's like, who cares? and there's a playlist for you guys.
Yeah.
On there. Is there a last, before we wrap this up, is there any last thing you'd like to have said or?
No, I think we're good. I just like, you know, feel your feelings. I think that's something that we bring with us and we try to help people to do through our music. So
we're super excited to be here in Stockholm and like it's been really nice the last year and a half, so I'm excited to see where it goes from here.
Yeah. Got a lot of plants.
Okay, guys, if this has been Artists Alive for today, thank you so much for taking your time listening to me talk. And I'm sorry for wasting your time, because I feel like I'm always wasting people's time. But it's great, because that's basically what podcasting is, wasting people's time. If you like this podcast, please follow it wherever you find podcasts and give it a little review. It helps with the algorithms, I like to imagine. And no, I'm kidding. And I'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.